Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, so today we're going to start the next phase of our story. There's actually a little bit of background that we need to do, which is why you have your chumashim and not your sheets. That's one of the reasons why we have chumashim and we have been bouncing around a little bit. So the story that we concluded last week, was the story of Hagar and Sarah. This was, again, part one of our three-part series of stories. The story concluded on page 72 at the end of chapter 16. We basically learned through the entirety of chapter 16, Tazayin. That's what we completed. Quick review, just to put it in context. This is a story in which Sarah realizes that she has not had any children. She gives her maidservant Hagar to Abraham. She becomes pregnant. She looks lightly upon her mistress. Sarah mistreats her. Hagar flees into the desert, has a conversation with the angel. The angel basically says, return, you'll become a great nation. You're going to have this wild man of a son. She does return. Ishmael is born and named, and she names the well, the place from where she saw these angels, the well of the God who saw me. And Abraham then names the well, she names God the God of vision. Abraham names the well of the living one who appeared before me. And what we've concluded with last week was Rav Hirsch's beautiful approach to the concept of the descendants of Yishmael as sharing a father with us in Avraham and having a different mother, and the combination of traits that resulted in a type of a child who would be fiercely religious, who would be fiercely fearing of God, seeing God in their daily life. As Avraham added, the God who sees me eternally, it will be that type of a relationship. But from his mother's perspective, he was going to be a wild man, a desert man, a person who doesn't want to be shackled by the constraints of societal living, doesn't want to be in a city, has to be free, has to be out in the field. And that combination of a religious fervor and understanding that God is involved in his life always and sees, yet with a wild, unbridled passion, is, says Rav Hirsch, the legacy of Yishmael, based on the fact that he shares a spiritual father with us in Avram and a different mother in Hagar. That was part one of the story. What we're going to start today, Meretz Hashem, is going to be part two, and that is now the birth of Yitzchak, and then the second time that Hagar runs into the desert. The first time was just as she was pregnant. Sarah forces her out. We're going to now read, we have a couple of background stories to do before that. We're going to read now about the birth of Yitzchak, and then as these two boys grow up, in which Hagar and Yishmael are sent away from the house of Avram now for the second time, and that will then lead, of course, into the part three of the story, which is Akedas Yitzchak, but we will get there in quite a while. So, not to worry about that. Okay, so what we need to do now is a little bit of background before we even get to part two of our story, just to see what we need to cover. What we concluded with was the end of chapter 16, the end of Tazayin on page 72. The birth of Yitzchak is not going to come until Perek Chaf Aleph. So if you want to get a sense, we're going to have four prakim. There are going to be four entire chapters in between what we just concluded, the birth of Yishmael, and what will eventually be the birth of Yitzchak and the story that we need to learn. Within those four chapters, there are a couple of brief stories, snippets that we need to study to be able to fully understand and appreciate chapter 21, which is what we're going to do. I know you have to keep coming back and back. I mean, this is not just like a one-time thing. This is a long series, so just settle in. Okay, so what do we need to cover in between chapter 17 and 21? So let's start with chapter 17. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit. We're going to do this quickly, but we just need to get the basics of what it is that we need. So the beginning of chapter Perek Yudzayin is, thank God, we have Art Scroll. We need nothing more than our Art Scroll. Art Scroll on the left-hand side of the page gives us all of the little headers, so it's like easy to follow. It's all there right in front of us. What happens at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin? We have the covenant of Bris Milah. Vayhi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'teisha Shonim. Avram is 99 years old. Vayeiro Hashem el Avram. Vayoymer Elav Anikel Shaddai Hisalech Lufanai Veheye Samim. Walk before me and be perfect. Ve'etnev Risi Beini Uveinecha. And I will give my covenant between you and between me, and I will make you exceedingly great. Now Avraham knows that the child that he now has, this is now a covenant which has been given to him, and there's something fundamentally different about this than what had been given to him previously. This is not the first time that Avraham has promised great, numerous descendants from Hashem, but he has never had a child until now. At this time when Hashem appears before him, he actually now at least has a child. Yishmael has been born. Avraham knows that this is not the child which will be his destiny, but at least he has a child, and Hashem now comes back to him and says again, I'm going to make a covenant between you and between me, and your children will be exceedingly great. And here Hashem then changes his name in Pasuk Hey, V'lo Yikarei Od Hashimcha Avram. Your name will no longer be Avram, V'haya Shimcha Avraham, Ki Av Haman Goyim Nisaticha, because you'll be the father of a multitude of nations. I'll make you exceedingly great again. And kings will come out from nations, and kings shall descend from you. And again, the language of the bris, the covenant, is what's coming up here several times, that Hashem is not only making a promise to Avram in the sense of, I will promise you these things, but now that's actually going to be this a bris. We actually use the word bris. It's actually now become to mean a circumcision. But that's, of course, not what the word bris means. Bris means a covenant. It's just become so symbolic of what the bris represents. The circumcision represents the covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people, and that's what we have over here. That the rest of the psukim in this particular paragraph continue with the halachas of the actual bris, and that is given to Avram at this point. So after the birth of Yishmael, he's now given the concept of the covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people, that of bris milah. Skipping down to the bottom of page 74, pasuk tezvav. Vayomer Elokim al Avraham, Sarai ishtecha lo sikra shema Sarai ki sara shema. Now we not only have had a name change of Avraham, that he went from Avram to Avraham, but now his wife Sarai also gets her name changed, and she becomes Sarah. Uveirachti osa, I will bless her. Vegam nasati mimena lecha bein, and I will give from her to you a son. I will bless her, she will be a mother of nations, and kings will descend from her. Now this is a unique blessing. What's different about this than what Avram has received many, many times before?
Specificity.
Correct. But who's going to be the mother? In other words, Avram has received by this point about five times by this point he's received the blessing that he'll have children as numerous as the stars and the sand. It's going to be a great nation. But he has never received an explicit word from whom will those children descend. Who will mother those children? He had this feeling that it wasn't going to be Hagar. Sarai gave Hagar to Avraham, that maybe she will be built up through her, as we studied. But this is now the first time that Hashem says to Avraham, not only will I bless you with children, I now change your wife's name from Sarai to Sarah, and I specify from her will this blessing be fulfilled to you, that you will have children. What is Avram's response now that he heard it has been his wife? He's 99. How old is his wife at this point? 89. So we're talking about now, this is something we stressed many times. The first time that Hashem speaks to Avram is either around age 70, 75. It's in that age range. And he's promised to become a great nation. That was 25 years earlier. He was not a young man when he was promised children. He was already 75 years old. Been married for a long time. And even after that promise, decades go by, 25 years go by. Hagar finally is given to him, he has a Yishmael, and he knows that that's not it. Shem now promises Avraham a child again, promises that it will be with his wife Sarah, and look at Avraham's response. Yud Zayin, Vayipol Avraham al panav vayitzchak. Avraham falls on his face and laughs. Now the word Yitzchak, Tzchoik, is going to come up. We're going to trace this word throughout the birth of Yitzchak. How many times this word is affiliated with his birth, which is an interesting concept. We'll just throw this out there right now. The midah, the trait that Yitzchak is most known for amongst the Avos, we have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Yitzchak's midah is? His gevura is strength. Bimur din. Avram is the Isha Chesed. On the one side, Yitzchak is on the other side of din and gevura. And Yaakov is the perfect confluence in the middle of Emes, the combination of the two midos. That's a much deeper kind of thought about. That's just a very surface just description. And with Yitzchak, it's the word Tzchik that we just find over and over and over again, which certainly is going to need some discussion and elaboration. And the first time that we're going to find this word, we're going to already, as we start today, we're going to find it several times. The first time it comes up is here when Avraham doesn't hear that he will have children for the first time. He's heard this many times. I believe it's at least five by this point that he's heard, you will have many children. But when does he laugh? When Hashem says, it's going to be with Sarah. From her, you will have those children. Vayipol Avraham al panov vayitzchak. He falls on his face and he laughs.
Isn't the word Yitzchak an implication of a future laughing?
That's a good point. In other words, Vayitzchak, the yud before that would seem like it would be a future, but we have the vav, the Vayitzchak. I think it's what's going to make the is going to turn it into a past tense, and he left. But we'll see a couple of different connotations of this word.
Rabbi, how old was Hagar that he didn't laugh? She must not have been a young woman either.
I don't know how old she was, but there was certainly no promise ever about, in other words, there was no a prophecy about that birth that Hagar would
have.
That's
how Abraham knew that it was not going to come.
It could be. I don't know if it just was a matter that he had no thought whatsoever that the future of his Abrahamic dynasty that Hashem had promised him would come from this Egyptian maid. It just seems like, yeah, it just didn't cross his mind that would be it. Now we saw, if you remember, we had two interpretations about what Sarah meant when she said, I will be built up from her. The Maharal's approach, as he understood Rashi, was that through the merits of this child, I will merit my own child. But Rav Hirsch's approach, as we saw, he actually understood that Sarah meant, I will raise this child. It will be like it's mine. And it seems like he understood that this child would be the future of the Jewish people. That's what it sounds like from a first interpretation, but the Maharal certainly did not understand that from Rashi. In any case, Avram, it seems clear, never had any intention that this child would be the child. We're going to see very clearly he is attached to the child, and he wants the best for this child, but whether or not he thought it was going to be the future of his mission in the world, it seems like he never had that thought. And here, upon hearing that his wife, Sarah, is going to be the mother of his children, does he fall on his face, and for the first time we have this word, Vayitzchak. Vayomer Billy Bowen, he says in his heart, Halaven Meya Shana Yivaled, Vim Sarah Havas Tishim Shana Teled. And he says, shall a child be born to a 100-year-old man? And shall Sarah, a 90-year-old woman, give birth? Now, we could read this in several different ways. I think of like the two basic ways. We could read, we've spoken about it many different times in many different classes, that without punctuation, we could take these many different ways. The example that I'd like to give is, if I put on the words, you can't help me. Like, how many different words or ways can you interpret that phrase as to what I mean to say with those four words? You can't, I'm trying to say that with as little tone as possible, help me. So if there's no punctuation, no tone, and you don't hear anything, it could be a matter of, you can't help me. Or it can be, you can't help me. Those are very different statements in terms of the same words, but without punctuation, tone, inflection, I don't know what you're saying. Which is why texting and emails and all that is like the worst form of communication ever. At least when we used to write letters, the previous generation used to write letters, like people would spend a lot of time with letters and they would actually express the sentiment, and you could be clear what you mean. But in these quick, people shooting off emails and text, like there's no text, context, there's no, and we could tell them. So anyways, how do we read Avram's response? Is this a positive or a negative? Let me read his words. He hears, and he laughs. And he says, will a 100-year-old man give birth and a 90-year-old woman have a child? How do we take those words?
Well, what about the fact that he falls on his face? What does that indicate?
Excellent. Okay, so now what you're doing is you're interpreting the words based on the context, which is what we need to do. Right? Now, if I only had those words, and we're going to revisit these words when we read Sarah's response, they sound very similar. Now, everyone, you know, we're much more familiar with the story, which we're going to see in a few minutes, when the angels come to Avram and they say that Sarah's going to have a child, and Sarah laughs. And the response that Hashem has there is very different. Here, Avram laughs. You know, this is an interesting trivia question. If you'd ask who was the first person who laughed when they heard about the birth of the future birth of Yitzchak, I have a very strong suspicion that if you polled people at your Shabbos table, 99 out of 100 would say Sarah. That's not true. The first person to laugh at the news of the birth of Yitzchak is Avraham. Right here, yeah.
Well, there are three ways of laughing. There's laughter, jeering, mocking.
Mm-hmm.
There's laughter for joy.
Right.
And there's laughter because something's funny, because it's preposterous and ridiculous.
In disbelief.
But laughter falling on your face, as Paula said, indicates awe.
Excellent.
Laughter of joy.
Beautiful. So you got, I think that's exactly on. In other words, the word, the response of the laughter and the words can be taken in a lot of different ways. And Chazal saw the way to interpret it based on his response, Vayipol Avraham al panav, that he falls on his face. And the Targum Unkelos, the Aramaic translation here of the Torah, on this word Vayitzchak, that he laughed, translates it as V'chedvi, that he was overjoyed. Because as you said, there are a lot of different ways to translate a laughter, out of joy, out of mockery, or out of disbelief. And jokes are funny because it like it catches us by surprise. It's something we're not expecting. So this laughter, the sages saw as a laughter of joy. And what context did they have? I think it's exactly as you said, Vayipol Avraham al panav. Okay, very important point. So we have here the first time that Avram is told specifically that he's going to have a child with Sarah. He laughs, falling on his face out of joy, in disbelief, saying, so that we know how to read his words when he says, I can't believe it. At 100, I'm going to have a child, and Sarah at 90. That's not a mocking, what are you kidding me? A 100-year-old man's going to have a child? That's not how to read it. It's, I can't believe it. At 100, I'm going to have a child. Sarah's going to give birth at 90, a miracle. Vayipol Avraham al panav. Now, fascinating. What's his next response? Next pasuk, Yudches. Vayomer Avram el Elokim, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefanecha. Oh, that Yishmael should live before you.
Can't forget about it.
Fascinating. Here's again, as we're working through this three-part story, as we trace Yishmael and Yitzchak as they intertwine in the beginning of their birth, where Sarah doesn't have children, in the end of the birth, we had all that we've been studying over the past couple weeks, and now we have, in his home comes Yishmael, he's given the new promise, a name change, Sarah's name change, you'll have Yitzchak, and the first words out of his mouth, after falling on his face in joy over the hearing of the birth of his son Yitzchak, Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefanach, let it just be that Yishmael should live before you. Exactly as you said. Not like, don't forget about him. It's not a matter of like, oh, now that I have this Abrahamic promise of Yitzchak, I'm finished with that whole lineage. Lu Yichya Yishmael Lefanecha, may he only live before you. My grandfather, he should live and be well. I can't help myself. I'm going to add a parenthetical little comment here. He used to tell me in the height of the not a joke. It's in the height of the horrible bombings and intifadas that had been ravaging Eretz Yisrael over the past couple of years. There was a Hasidic Shavuot that he remembered him saying to me that Avram said to Hashem, "Lu yichya yishmael lefanecha." He should only live before you. When they're not killing themselves, the suicide bombers, we'll all be better off if they would only live. Let them just live before you, and if they would just live, we'll be better. Yeah. Okay, anyways, let's go on. Aval Saroy Shtecha Yoledes Lecha Bain Vikarasa Shemo Yitzchak. This conversation is so fascinating. Shem promises Avraham a son with his wife Sarah. Avraham falls to his face in joy. And then what's the next word out of his mouth? Where does Hashem go with it? What does Hashem respond with?
Let's go back.
Right. I want to go back to Yitzchak. This is where I see. This is the future. This is where we're going. It's Yitzchak is going to take on your heritage. And as much as Avram like goes, don't forget about him. Don't worry about him. Hashem says, no. Aval, but Sarah is going to have a son. Vikarasa Eshimo Yitzchak, and you will call his name Yitzchak. And through him I will fulfill my covenant as an eternal covenant between you and all of your children after him. So here we have the naming of the child. So this little paragraph tucked in here in between the birth of, or the four chapters in between the birth of Yishmael and the birth of Yitzchak, we have this episode of the two name change, the promise of Yitzchak. Avram laughs and Hashem names the child Yitzchak. Now, the Torah does not tell us why Hashem names this child Yitzchak. It's hard not to make the connection that was Avraham's response. That it was a response of laughter, and the laughter was a positive laughter. It was a laughter after falling on his face in submission before Hashem, a laughter of joy. You can't help but make that connection, that's his response, that's what Hashem names. But the Torah doesn't say, as it often says, in naming of the biblical figures, this was his name because of... That's very common that we have names given and a reason for that name. Here we don't have that. Simply a prophecy. He will be born to Sarah. Hashem redirecting the conversation back to Yitzchak, and that will be his name. And then Hashem goes back to Yishmael in Pasuk Chaf. Va'uli Yishmael Shematicha. Regarding Yishmael, I have heard you. I have heard you, Avraham, that that's foremost in your mind, lo yichya Yishmael lefanecha, that he should live before you. I have heard you. Hinei beirachti yoso, I have blessed him. Vihifreisi yoso, I will make him fruitful. Vihirbeisi yoso, b'ma'od ma'od. And I will increase his nation exceedingly. Shenei masar nesiim yolid. He will beget, he will have 12 princes, unisativ legoy godol, he will become a great nation. Mm-hmm. What can you not help but notice in this pasuk?
The parallel. Well, but also what I'm noticing is where it says that I have heard you.
Excellent.
That makes me think that if Abraham had not asked for that Ishmael be remembered.
Okay, which is an interesting point, because if you remember the Malach, one of the things that the angel promised to Hagar out by the well was that he will become a great nation. So that you're asking an interesting point. In other words, it sounds like somehow it's tied into Abraham's prayer of Lo Yichya Ishmael Lefanecha, when she already received that. It's also of note that, again, what's that word that comes up that you're pointing out in terms of the person Yishmael? We have, again, the word Shoma, I have heard. In the same way as Hagar was told, Hashem has heard your cries, and we're going to have that again out in the desert in the story that we're about to start, where they're out there without any water. Hashem hears the cry of the Nar. Avraham prays for Yishmael, and Hashem says, I have heard your prayer in regard to this child. The hearing of the prayer of this child, Yishmael, it's part of his name, Yishmael. God will hear. And as historians, just like we're looking at a nation that prays five times a day, it's a nation where the shmias hakol, the hearing of their voice, the hearing of their prayers, is just so embedded in the genetic DNA, the spiritual DNA of the people, that that's just one of those themes that just gets traced everywhere. Even here, Hashem doesn't have to say that. I have heard what you said about him. It's added in as well. And then the parallels. Listen to these parallels. In other words, Rav Hirsch was pointing out last week how Yishmael and Yitzchak share a father. We share half of our spiritual genes with our cousins, the Arabs. We share Avram as a father. We have a different mother, which is, of course, the seat of all of Jewish life, and therefore we've gone in very different directions. But we share Avram. And the promise that Avram gives to Yishmael, and this is like word for it, if I would have taken out the first phrase, you would say, I mean, it sounds just like a promise given to Avram and to Yitzchak. Beirachti oso, I've blessed him. Hifreisi oso, I will multiply him. Hirbeisi oso, I will increase him. Bima'od ma'od. Shnei masar nisim. 12 tribes, 12 princes will descend from him. If I would have just shown this, you show this pasuk to somebody and say, who is this about? What do you mean, who is this about? This is the, these are the words exactly that are promised to Avram and his children. Except that it's promised to the other child.
It sounds like Hashem is setting up a chess game. And here are these chessmen, and here are these chessmen for the rest of eternity.
Mm-hmm. But the parallels are just uncanny. The 12 tribes. Oh, wait, well, he has to say, yeah. There will be 12 leaders, 12 princes that will descend from Yishmael. They will be great and multiple. They will be numerous. They will be exceedingly great. I have blessed him. And continues Hashem, the Esbrisi in Pasuk Chofal of 21, but my covenant, Akim Es Yitzchak. And here Hashem makes that distinction. I heard what you said about Yishmael, and yes, I will bless him, I will increase him exceedingly, and he will have also those 12 princes. But my covenant will be fulfilled only through Yitzchak. Asher Teleilucha Sarah, Lamoed Hazeb Bashano HaAcheres, that sorrow will give birth to at this point in time in the following year.
So this means also Yishmael received Olam Haba, Yitzhak received Olam Hazeh.
Other way around. Why do you say that based on this?
Because Ma'od implies great, lots, materialism.
Mean here?
Meaning here, no?
Okay, I can hear that. I don't know that that's in the simple meaning, but I could hear where that would come from. Okay. Vayichal edaver itos. So far again, this following this comment again, this is just the text, right? I haven't, like, no Rashi, Ramban, whatever, just in terms of getting a picture as to what's going on in our story. Now we have a pasuk, which is an interesting pasuk. I can't tell you that I know Chumash at the tip of my tongue. I don't recall such a pasuk where there's a specific pasuk. Vayichal ledaber ito, he completed speaking with him. Vayal Elokim Yal Avram, and Avraham and Hashem ascended from upon Avram. Where you have this, like, I'm done, and a whole pasuk dedicated to the fact that the conversation is over, as opposed to just, like, moving on. And we obviously, we don't understand that the conversation was done. Here we have a specific pasuk referring to that. Okay. Now, so you're Avram. You just received this the word that Sarah is specifically going to have a son. It's going to be Yitzhak. He's going to be born in about a year's time. And also that your son Yishmael, who's already been born, will become great. Vayikach Avram es Yishmael beno, ve'ez kol yilidei ve'so, ve'ez kol meknas katso. Avram takes Yishmael, his son, and all of those born in his household, and all of his possessions, of kol zachor, all the men slaves that he had, v'anshe beis Avraham. That's that phrase, beis Avraham, in the house of Avram. Vayomol es basar or lasan v'etzem ayom hazeh kasher diber ito Elokim. And he circumcises all of them as Hashem had spoken to them. The Avram ben Tishim Vatesha Shana Bihimalo Basar Allah. So Avram himself was 99, again this is right after the beginning of this parak was the commandment of Bris Milah. Then he gets the commandment, the blessing that he'll have a son. Avram now gives a Bris Milah to himself at 99. The Yishmael beno ben Shalosh Esrei Shana Bihimalo Es Basar Allah. So Yishmael himself was already a 13-year-old child at the time of his bris. Be'etzem hayom hazeh nimol Avraham v'Yishmael beno. It was on this very day that Avram and Yishmael received their bris mil. Again, a pasuk fully dedicated after already telling us that Avram gave himself a bris at 99. Yishmael had his bris at 13. And then another pasuk that be'etzem hayom hazeh, was on this very day that Avram circumcised himself together with Yishmael, his son. Everybody who was with him had their bris as well. Okay. That is the backdrop, part of the backdrop. Now, if we had only stopped here, Avram already has now received a prophecy before his circumcision that in about a year's time, Sarah is specifically going to have a child. Pasuk said specifically, "Bamoed hazeh lishana." What was that phrase? "Bishanah ha'acheres," at the end of Pasuk Chof Aleph, that it was going to bear you a son by this time the next year. He receives that prophecy that it'll be called, the son will be called Yitzhak, and then goes through the Bris Milah. The Torah goes that to lengths to tell us how old Yishmael was. He was already 13, which is going to be an important factor, which is going to come up on part 3 of our story when we get to the Akedas Yitzchak, that Yishmael has these 13 years on Yitzchak, because by the time Yitzchak is going to be born, when is his Bris Milah going to take place?
When it's 8 days.
8 days, exactly as it's supposed to be. So who received a Bris in a much more trying, difficult form than Yitzchak? So both Avram himself, of course, at the age of 99, and Yishmael is going to say, look at me. 13 when I got this. Okay, that's part one of our backdrop. So far, so good?
So how old was Abraham when he got the command to leave, to the Lech Lecha?
So that is where it's unclear from the text whether or not he was 70 or 75. It sounds like he was 75. I think the Pasuk says that explicitly. What was unclear, that was 75. What's unclear is if that was the first time that Hashem is speaking to him, or if the Torah had gone out of order, and one of the later discussions that the Torah records had actually happened a few years earlier. Not the Rishonim talk about Rashi and the Ramban trying to figure out the chronological order. Lech Lecha, I believe the Torah says explicitly that Avram was 75.
So he was 25 years wandering around and trying to find his mission in life.
Yeah, 75. 24 years, exactly. In other words, and this is one of the points that I'd like to stress as we go through these psukim, as it's sometimes hard to remember, this, from the time, you know, if you notice, what parsha are we about to finish here on page 76? This is the end of Lech Lecha. The beginning of Lech Lecha, on page 54, how old is Avram? He's 75. That's the fourth pasuk into the parsha. It says Avram was 75 when he left Haran. So it's sometimes hard to remember that from the beginning of the parsha to the end of the parsha, in which we're introduced to Avraham, and we conclude the parsha with Avraham receiving his bris, he's 24 years have passed since this prophecy of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha V'Algad Lashemecha, I'm going to make your name great, you're going to have all of these children. 24 years go by and he doesn't have any children. And now he first receives the bris, the covenant of, through this you're going to have a son Yitzchak, and he is going to be the one to fulfill all that. That's 24 years later. Anyone in with the Tanakh class last night? So we have that also in terms of in Parshas Chukas, when the Jews are journeying through the desert, there's one pasuk which doesn't really tell you overtly, but 38 years pass in the course of one pasuk to the next. And as you're sitting there in shul and just following along, sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily pick up as we're reading the story. Like, that's a whole different generation. The stories that we're reading as we went just literally from one Aliyah to the next Aliyah, we just jumped 38 years. An entire generation died in the desert and a whole new generation is now leading the way. And the Torah doesn't so much as mention it explicitly. And here also you have, here at least it's mentioned because the Torah opened by saying he was 75 and here he's 99. But yes, that is an important point. Okay, let's move on to part two of our introduction to get to our story. That is the next page, page 7, David bidding a Perek Yud Ches. This we're also familiar with because it's the beginning of a parsha. Parsha is Vayeir, Vayeir Lav Hashem, Be'lonei Mamre. The parsha begins with Hashem coming to visit Avram. Why is Hashem coming to visit Avram?
Because he does.
Right? Because even though it's a new parsha, so you think it's a whole week away, but if you're actually learning the Chumash straight, you would have just come out of the pasuk describing how Avram at the age of 99 had just circumcised himself, because he had just received the commandment of Bris Milah. He just received the prophecy that Sarah is going to have a son in the following year to be named Yitzchak. And now he's recovering from his bris when Avram comes and appears to him. And Avram opens up his eyes and he sees, and the three angels are standing over him, and he runs to greet them, and we go through the whole story on page 78, the first couple took him in Perek Yitches, in which he tries to prepare a meal. He runs to prepare a meal for his guests. Let's pick up on Pasuk Tes on the top of the next page. Vayomer Elav Ayei Sarah Ishtecha, and the men say to Avram, where is your wife Sarah? She says she's back in the tent. Vayomer shuv oshuv eilecha ko'eis chaya v'hine vein l'sara ishtecha. I will return in the next year, and Sarah will have a child. She'll be holding a son. Is this news to Avram?
He
literally just heard it. I mean, literally, it's not just what I'm saying, like it's on the previous page. Why are the angels there? Because he's recovering from his bris. Why did he have a bris? Because he just received the prophecy to have the bris milah. The end of that prophecy included, Sarah's going to have a son, and you're going to name him Yitzchak. So when these passerby say, next year your wife Sarah is going to have a son, to Avram, I know, I just heard that from Hashem himself, and that you Arab passers-by are saying this to me, I don't know what he made of it, but it wasn't news to him because he had just received that word from Hashem himself.
So Avram did not realize they were Moachim at that point?
It seems from everything that, actually everything, it seems that way. I don't have any reason to assume that he knew. I don't believe that there's reason to assume that he knew. I'm sure maybe there's a message that said somewhere that he did, but certainly the simple reading of the Chumash does not require that.
Maybe he later offers them food.
Right, I mean, the works. He treats them like regular people, that's for sure.
But how would they know such a thing?
So, that's what I'm saying. In other words, that here you have a bunch of people, you know, nomadic people passing by saying your wife's going to have a child.
Flattery will get you anywhere. Get you a free meal.
Yeah. Now, remember how ludicrous it is that they're saying, forget about how do they know, who are they talking to? How old is Avram? He's 99 years old, right? His wife Sarah is 89, and these people passing by say, you know, next year you're going to have a son. It would be ludicrous, but Avram has just heard it from Hashem himself. Now, what's Avram's response to this hearing this word from the angels? Trick question, we have no idea. You have no idea. Pasuk 10, again, look at Pasuk Yud. Vayomer shova shuve lecho keizcha vahine ven l'sara ishtecha v'sara shomas pesacha oel v'hu acharav. And what does the Torah tell us about? That Sarah heard what was going on at the foot of the entrance behind them. What do we know about Avram's response? Gornish, nothing. We don't know what he did. Did he laugh? Did he smile? Did he say thank you? Did he say amen? Did he say, I know, Hashem just told me the same thing. We have no idea what he said. But what the Torah tells us is that Sarah hears this, and apparently, this is the first time she's hearing about this. Doesn't seem as if Avraham shared that. Now, it's possible that he did, and she still has the reaction that she has. It's hard for me to imagine she has the reaction that she has had Avraham just told her, literally within 3 days, because he's 3 days into his bris milah, so he's literally 3 days away from having heard it himself. It would be hard for me to imagine her having the reaction that she did had he shared with her the prophecy that he had just received. That's just me talking. I don't know. I'm not saying that's what the sages say. I don't know what they say about it. I don't have to say anything. It just seems to me that way. Torah continues in Yeralef. Avram v'Sara zekeinim boim bayamim. Avram and Sarah were already elderly, coming in days. Chodal lihios l'Sara oirach kanoshim. Sarah no longer had the manner of women. She had gone into menopause many, many years before, and having a child was not something that was in the physical realm of possibility. She did not have a body that was capable of having a child at the age of 89. Vatitzchak Sarah bekirbo lemor. What's Sarah's response when she hears this? Vatitzchak Sarah bekirbo lemor. She laughs inside at herself, saying, Acharev elosi hayisali adna vaadoni zokain. After I have gotten on so many years, I'm withered literally. Veloisi, I've become like I've withered away. I'm going to again have a delicate skin. I'm going to become adin, become soft, delicate. Vadoniza Kane, my husband is old. Now again, if you were to take this out of context, and you would simply have had those words, sounds very similar to the words that Avram says. Can a 99-year-old man have a child and a woman of 89 give birth? She has the same reaction. She also laughs. Yet the response that Hashem has to Sarah is completely different than Avraham's. And it comes down to that context. The Avraham falls on his face and laughs. And here by Sarah the language is, Vatitzchak Sarah bekirbo lemor. She laughed at herself inside saying, and my master is old. And the sages see this not the same way that Avraham said it, in the sense of how amazing that at 99, but that my husband is old, this can't be. It's a laughing of disbelief. It's incredulous. That can't happen because I can't have a child. I'm 89. I don't have the tools to have a child. My husband, he's old. He can't have a child. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, lomo ze tzochako saro leimor ha'afum no meleid vani zakanti. Now again, Hashem now speaks to Avram. Avram's in the middle of taking care of his guests. Hashem had appeared to him and now his guests show up. And in the middle of this, so we don't know what Avram's response was to the prophecy. The Torah doesn't tell us. We know that Sarah's laughing in the back of the tent. And now Hashem speaks to Avram and says, why is Sarah laughing? Why did she say that, can it be in truth that I'll bear a child even though I am so old? This is a classic example of the sages. She didn't say that I'm so old. She said, my husband is so old, Hashem changed it a little bit, Mivnei HaShalom, in order to maintain peace in the home. Hayim poleme Hashem davar, is it impossible for Hashem to do anything? At this point next year I will return and Sarah will have a child. Now I've already heard that from Hashem just 3 days earlier. That you will have a child with Sarah at this time next year. These passerbys, these Arab guests, nomads come by, they say that. Sarah laughs at herself. Avram has no idea what's going on with Sarah. Avram doesn't even see Sarah. She's in the tent. Hashem comes to Avram and says, why is your wife laughing at me? Why is she saying that I'm too old? Why is she saying that she can't do it? Is there anything that's distant from me that I can't do? Next year I'm going to be back and you will have a child. Vatechachesh Sarah lemor. Sarah denied it, saying, Lo tzochochti ki yorei. I was not laughing, but I was frightened. Vayomer lo ki tzochacht. And he said, no, indeed you laughed. Now, this, again, I'm not sure maybe we should spend the time and learn these verses in depth. I really intended just as a backdrop for our story. How many times do we have the word tzachoik in the birth of Yitzhak? Just to note that at first. In other words, Avram laughs when he first hears. Sarah laughs when she first hears. And then Hashem says, Loma zet socha kos Sarah. Why is Sarah laughing? Sarah denies and says, Loi tzochakti, I didn't laugh. Vayomer lo ki tzochacht. Indeed, you did laugh. 5 times the word tzchoik appears regarding the birth of Yitzchak, and we're going to find it in other places surrounding Yitzchak as well, which is going to be a study into itself. Why? Well, just to throw it out there to you. Where is the other time? Just where is the other place where we find Yitzchak involved in the word tzchoik?
Rivka,
in this week's parasha, correct? The parasha's told us Yitzchak is running away from the famine. He gets to Avimelech, Melech Gerar, Avimelech, king of Gerar, who claims that she is his sister, as his father Avram had done 2 different times. And it says, he saw in the window, ki mitzachek, that Yitzchak was playing, laughing. And again, that language of mitzachek, that's number 6. And then there's a 7th. The 7th time the word appears is going to be in the story that we're going to read, when Sarah sees Yishmael, the way that he's behaving around Yitzchak, she's going to say that I see Yishmael as also mitzachek.
But it has a different implication.
I'm fine with that. What we're pointing out now is that in the beginning of his birth, 5 times the word is used surrounding both Avram's laughter, Sarah's laughter. Sarah denies that she laughed. Hashem says, why did you laugh? Sarah says, I did. You did laugh. And then that word tzchoik appearing both in terms of Yishmael's behavior around Yitzchak and then Yitzchak's behavior with his wife. seven times this word. Of course, his name is Yitzchak. What is it about all the different, and there are different connotations amongst those different words, and they're all there specifically with this particular child, and that will be certainly something that I hope, Meretz Hashem, as we go through, we'll be able to spend some time and have some understanding of the nature of that word and the nature of his name and how that embodies what he represents.
It doesn't seem like it's characteristic of him.
That's
because
excellent,
he's very
right.
Serious and Pachad Yitzchak
right,
comes
right.
up.
Pachad Yitzchak, right? The fear of Yitzchak, the persona that the Torah gives us of Yitzchak is one of austere fear of the number of words that Yitzchak speaks in the Torah is extremely limited. Extremely. Yaakov, we have a ton. Avraham, Yitzchak says almost nothing in the entire Chumash. And when Yaakov comes to steal the brachos, he has a couple of speaking parts. But other than that, we have very, very little about him. And so to have this word of Yitzchak and Tzchoik so prominent in his persona is certainly, as you mentioned, going to be a point of note. Okay. That's basically it. That is basically it. So as far as, in other words, what's going to happen at this point is the angels then move on. The next pasuk says the angels got up from there, they looked out at Sodom, and they went on their way to destroy the city of Sodom. Hashem tells Avraham, and Avraham davens. And then we have the actual destruction of Sodom. The Torah then takes a break in terms of discussing the Lot's and what takes place in Sodom when the angels come to visit him, and how he's saved, and how he runs away, and how his two daughters eventually mother children from Lot. And all of that takes us down to Avraham and Avimelech. Then, beginning of chapter 20, Avraham settles south with Gror, and it says about Sarah, that's the second time in which he says, she's really my wife. And Avimelech is struck down, and they have a whole episode, and then Avram is sent on his merry way. That's what takes place now. So then we like get back to the story. So there's a couple of things which take place in Bitun, as if we were actually tracing the story of the birth of Yitzchak. After the birth of Yishmael, then we receive the covenant of Bris Milah. Then we're told about that it's going to be Sarah specifically who's going to have the child. Then we have Avram circumcising himself as he was told. Angels come to visit him. They tell him again he's going to have a child, which is not news to Avram, but it is to Sarah. She laughs, just like Avram laughed, but her laugh is an incredulous laugh at which she's taken to task by Hashem for that. And then there's this break in the story. We have the whole episode of Sodom. Avram davening for them, the destruction of Sodom. Avram goes down to Gerar because of the famine. Avimelech tells Sarah about Sarah that she's his sister. They're sent off. And then finally we're going to get back to our story, which is going to now be this birth of Yitzchak that we've been waiting for. I just want to start it, and then we'll call it a day, and we'll pick up with this, Meretz Hashem, with actual sheets next week. But if you'll flip now to chapter 21 on page 94-95, we start off with Vahashem pokad es Sarah ka'asher amar. Hashem remembered Sarah as he had said. Vayas Hashem le'Sarah ka'asher diber. And Hashem did for Sarah as he had spoken. And what is that now tying us back to? That's tying us back to the prophecy that we read about today. After the birth of Yishmael, when Hashem said, not only Avram will you be promised to have many children, but that it will be specifically with Sarah, Hashem remembers Sarah as he had promised. She will conceive and have a child. And then we will go through this chapter, which is going to be part 2. It's a long chapter. And then chapter 22 will be part 3, which will be the Akedas Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. So we will now focus our attention for a while on chapter 21, on the birth of Yitzchak, which concludes the expulsion of Yishmael, which will then lead into the third. But that today was really just backdrop for the birth of Yitzchak himself. And I just find it fascinating once you, now that we're into this Tanakh thing, like when you scale back and you see things from, you know, a wider lens, not just studying the actual psukim in front of you, it's like opens up a whole new understanding of what the story, what the Torah is telling us. All right, look forward to Mirz Hashem. Next week is going to be normal. We'll be after Thanksgiving. Yeah, Mirz Hashem, regular class next week.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.